go! Welcome to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast with your host, Steve Schaubecker. Get ready to get behind the scenes look into what it really takes to grow a business from scratch in the firearms industry. Join us as we welcome industry titans, Second Amendment enthusiasts, and special guests each week. I welcome you to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.
Welcome back to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm really excited about this week because I have a very, very special guest. Her name is Katrina Schaubecker, and she is a nurse practitioner. You may be noticing the resemblance in last name, and that is for a reason. Katrina is my wife of nearly 25 years. So yes, you'll likely get some dirt, you'll likely have some fun, we'll have some good laughs. But Katrina, thanks so much for coming on today. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're a little nervous, aren't you?
Just a little.
It's okay. I haven't bitten anybody in a while. But there's a few topics that I'd love to cover with you today. I want to talk a little bit about like entrepreneurship from your side of view. Also like to talk about your profession, kind of some of the stuff that went on with COVID. And then I think probably the last thing was probably like to hit on a little bit maybe is talking a little bit about being a mother of a new police officer. But let's dive right in. So we were just talking a little bit before we started recording here about what it was like for you, being an entrepreneur's wife when, like, I know, like, you and I are wired completely different. I mean, I tell people I don't think there's an entrepreneurial bone in your body, and that's okay. That kind of what balanced us out. But what was it like for you, over the last, how long has it been now?
20 years.
Almost 20 years. How long has it been? How has it been? Just living this life. The early years are obviously a lot different than now, but take us on a little journey. What was it like in the beginning, compared to what it's like now? And what are your biggest takeaways?
So it's been definitely very tough from the beginning. And I remember back in the days that we had KKS for Katrina, Kaylee, and Steve, and we would go door to door together and dropping off little pamphlets about his DirecTV satellite company that he had back then. And, we just kept on. I mean, it was something that we did together as a family, but I remember back then I told him I was supposed to manage the phone calls. Mind you, I was also going to school full time, working full time and raising a 2-year-old, and he wanted me to do the marketing of the day-to-day business. And I told him I cannot sell. I don't know if you remember this. I'm like, I cannot sell a banana to a monkey. And like, I cannot do this at all, but I got better and less nervous and got excited for him. From there, we just continued. Steve was definitely the yes man. Anything that would catch his eye, he would chase after and, for entrepreneur. And he came alongside some solid people that have guided him to where he's at today.
Yeah, it's been a journey thinking back that far. Wow. It has been a long time and a lot of different, done a lot of different things, been involved with a few different companies and grown exponentially as a person. I can't even remember what I was like back then. I knew I was excited for it and wanted to learn all I could, but man, it's a completely different world today than it was back then. When did you feel like, was there a point in time when you were like, hey, you know what, this he could actually be onto something. This maybe this isn't so bad, or maybe I think he might actually make it and not have to go back to working at McDonald's flipping patties.
I would say probably about 3 years ago when Sheepdog was kind of in the making, and just seeing again his business partner Jim coming alongside him, and Steve is the marketing guru and Jim's kind of the bones, and the two of them together, I felt very safe and comfortable knowing that they're going to get far in whatever they want to do together.
Yeah, Jim definitely compliments me great. Definitely wouldn't have gotten to the point we're at without his hard work. So the technical terms for what Jim and I do, instead of Jim being the bones, Jim is the integrator. Jim makes things happen, and I am the visionary. I imagine these great things that Jim makes happen. And that's kind of how the process starts. But it's been really interesting, all these years. It's like side by side with the same guy in several different adventures. But It's been very, very good. It's we definitely have each other figured out, which took a while when we first met. Didn't like each other at all, really in the beginning. But we got to know each other and then understand each other, and then we actually became a pretty darn awesome team. But
it's like a marriage.
It kind of is. I mean, it's kind of like the whole yin yang thing, and you know, just him and I are both like complete opposites on a lot of things. That's why he's good at the things he is. I'm good at the things I am. But it's definitely been a fun fun journey with Sheepdog and Medicus and security company and everything that he's all been involved in with us. So it's definitely been fun. Looking forward to what the future brings and what comes next. So you took a little bit of a different path, obviously helping me quite a bit throughout the years, but you took the, are now a nurse practitioner, and you took the long way there. So started out as a CNA when we first got married, then went to school and became an LPN, went back to school, got your RN, went back to school and got your BSN, right? That's what they call it, the big fancy letters.
Yeah.
And then you took the final step that you're on now is you went and got your nurse practitioner. So you're now what are those fancy letters you put after your name?
Well, I got my master's degree, and then on top of that, then I got my nurse practitioner.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was all one gig. Okay, no. Two things. No. Okay.
So MSN, FMP, BC.
That just sounds impressive, and it looks even better when you see it on paper, so I will definitely put that in the show notes correctly so you all can see how awesome it is. And what are you up to now? What are you considering going to do now?
So now I want to go back to school again. I graduated in 2016 with my nurse practitioner degree, and I've been working in a family practice clinic for the last 5 years. And my passion has been working with the mental health population, so coming alongside those that have been struggling with anxiety and depression, especially this post-pandemic COVID environment that we're in right now. My numbers have doubled to tripled in patients that I'm seeing on a day-to-day basis, so it's very rewarding to come alongside them, and I'm looking forward to going back to school to get my psych mental health nurse practitioner degree, so... More schooling, another set of boards, more fancy letters behind my name.
That doesn't sound fun, at least from the seat over here, especially those boards things that you've talked about so much in the past. But I'm proud of you, very proud of you that you're following what you want to do. You're chasing it down, so very exciting, very exciting. I know it's going to be a lot of work for you, but I'm excited that you've chosen to do it. But so going back... Nurse practitioner during COVID, did you ever question your career choice?
Not at all. There were definitely, those around us that dropped like flies, in the heat, and just they gave us at work, they gave us the option if we did not want to work in that environment with taking care of those kind of patients that we could leave and take a leave of absence. But I signed up for the long haul when I signed up to be a nurse. It was... to take care of, patients at irregardless of what's going on. So I was there for the long haul. I remember my very first COVID case. Patient, was like in his 50s and was running high fevers. And at that time we let them come into the clinic. But then we had just got COVID swabs. And so I did my very first COVID swab like in the end of March. I went out to his car and swabbed them and had no idea at that time because they weren't rapids or anything like that. But I just remember putting myself in quote unquote danger of germs because we didn't have PPE. And we were just a small town clinic. But did the swab and found out 3 days later that he was positive for COVID. Even though I didn't feel nervous at all about taking care of patients. I got a little nervous because back then we didn't really know much about what COVID was except for just all the negatives. So I was a little bit nervous, but never ended up testing positive for COVID throughout this whole pandemic. And even though I was on the front lines, just doing what I do.
So back up a little bit here. Hang on. So you mean when... people that were actually like really sick that needed your help there were other nurse practitioners that were bailing and not wanting to take care of sick people. Did I hear that right?
That is very true.
That's screwed up. That's really screwed up. That's a hang on. I want to be a police officer, but you know, any shooting calls, if there's any blood, you know, it just no, I'm not that day. So I just want to be. So basically, they just want to take care of sniffles or allergies or school physicals or what's the deal? I don't understand that.
There were people that would say that they don't want anybody that's sick to come into the building to take care of them. So, and obviously, ear infections still were occurring despite COVID possibilities. Upper respiratory sinus infections, you know, all of those things, we still were there to take care of patients, but some people just did not have that get up and go and commitment to taking care of the sick.
How did that make you feel?
I mean, frustrated, you know, just that just means that we all had to work harder. So, but then rewarding, you know, that I'm the one that stayed there. You know, I'm the one that wanted to, you know, keep on, you know, just doing what I needed to do. And, you know, you just move on. Relationships, you know, are definitely, when you find out that those that were your coworkers were not as dedicated, you lose respect.
Oh, I can definitely understand that. It's, man, it's yeah, just strikes me as weird. Yeah. I remember you telling me that before too, but it just took a little extra impact when you're telling that as part of your story. But I mean, what's your take now? How are you handling COVID now, and how does it, is it any less stressful? Is it any different? How do your patients feel about it now? Did you see any like change over the course of time? You know, I mean, gosh, it's been a year and a half now. Have there been any differences in how people reacted then and how people act or treat you or anything?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's very tough because COVID has affected everybody in some way or another, whether it was from that they lost a loved one or if it was more of that their, you know, family reunion plans had to change. So every conversation, every patient that I see, we are always talking about COVID in one way or another, whether it's vaccination or masks or, you know, like I said, just getting sick with COVID. People are so divided right now. It's really sad. And they look to me to guide them, but it's very difficult, even as a healthcare provider, to know what to say, the right thing, you know, when everything, we still don't know a lot about it. We're, like you said, a year and a half in, and now there's a possible variant that people are getting sick from. But we just, you know, we just don't know. And so I just feel like a lot more, like I talked about earlier, that anxiety has been high. Depression from isolation has been huge. People haven't been able to see their loved ones for years, you know, now. I mean, for a long time. Just come alongside them and supporting them where they're at and trying to help them, being a listening ear to them. So
that's awesome. It's neat just seeing the excitement, seeing you take care of people and hearing all the stories of how you made a difference, you know, like every day.
It's hard not to burn out, though. I mean, that was one thing we were saying, you know, ahead of time that we were going to talk about. But, you know, you just, like I said before, you just keep on giving, you know, just 110% of yourself. And then at the end of the day, you have to go home and you have to chart every single detail. And, you know, you're spending so much time thinking and about work and about your patients and documenting about, you know, work and every single thing that you do. It's just hard to stay, it's hard to keep your candle lit, you know, when everything is around you is just trying to blow it out.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Definitely see that. So how did you do it? How do you stay, keep going back for another day? How do you stay, keep going back for another week? How do you not say, you know what, I've had enough of this crap?
Yeah, well, the people that I take care of are my, you know, that's my passion. But we also try to do self-help, you know, self-care and go to the gym, get a good night's sleep. We take, you know, vacations, you know, just take the time off to be able to rejuvenate so that way I'm not so burnt out. But, I mean, day to day, You know, that's what I signed up for, was taking care of people. But I do know that I'm very fortunate that I have you up, you know, for my back to vent to, and to be able to take the time that I need to chart, even though you hear me whine all the time about that. Raising the kids, it was definitely very difficult, because they'd always say to me, how many charts do you have tonight? And, you know, I hated that aspect. So that's the worst part about being a nurse practitioner, is the charting.
You know, it's funny. So on your self-care regimen, would Reese's Pieces happen to be on there?
Is that chocolate? Part
of it? Chocolate. So just just chocolate, or chocolate and peanut butter?
Chocolate and peanut butter.
Okay, so any combination of thereof?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know. So yeah, I got her to say something nice for me. All it took was a little box of Reese's Pieces. So if any of your patients are listening, if you want an extra, you want to slip in those couple extra complaints on an office visit with Katrina, you can just take in a slide or a box of Reese's Pieces and you're good to go. Yeah. But, you know, and while this all was going on, so let's talk about while all COVID was going on, we also had our son go into the police academy at the time. So how did that make you feel, kind of the fact that, you know, Christian got in and was pursuing that career, as well as it was happening during COVID time?
Yeah, I don't think it was COVID as much that bothered me. It was more all the riots that were occurring during that time, which happened to be with COVID time too. So, but ever since he was little, he always wanted to be a police officer, and he was the one that was in school being the tattletale. You know, Miss Jones, Susie didn't put her crayons in the right way, or, you know, telling a child that they were not in line right. So he was always destined to be a rule follower and rule, what would you say that is, like a
enforcer.
Yes. Yeah. So I just know that he wanted to be a police officer, and, you know, I've always had his back, and whatever he wanted to do, I would have it for him. So whether it was, you know, COVID, or, like I said, the riots, the looting, the horrible things that our country went through, and that our police officers are endangered on a day-to-day basis. I love him, and I'm glad that he's pursuing his dream.
Yeah, that's awesome. So proud of him. It's just been interesting to see him grow up, and, you know, and thankfully he did not turn into. I thought not only was he going to be a cop, he was going to be that cop.
Right.
You know, even that cop, you know, I thought he was going to be outriding jaywalking tickets and those sorts of things, because, like, he was that much of a stickler. Like, I mean, we're talking he'd get after kids for not pushing in their chair, or I'm sure all kinds of stuff, you know, like Katrina said, just crayons are in the wrong order, you know. I mean, if there was any little infraction, he would certainly bring it up. And I could just see him, so I thought he was going to be that cop. You know, he's going to, hey, all right, you're going 1 mile an hour over. That's entirely too fast on this stretch, sir. Yeah, I'm going to have to write you a couple citations for that. But no, and it turns out he's turned the opposite, so I always give him a hard time. And he's like he's turned into the nice, uplifting cop. And I'm like, don't know what happened to you, son, but it's great, you know. But
yeah, I mean, I'm just, yeah, definitely I would have thought that he would have been that cop, but he wants to make a difference in the community, and that's awesome. Another thing that makes me so proud of him is that he went out with his own money and bought several toys, brand new toys, for if case he ever comes across a domestic or a car accident, so that way he can pass it out to, you know, the kids that he encounters. And I just think that's, you know, that's what he wants to do now, is just be, you know, have the community look to the police with trust and respect, instead of just like, oh, I don't, because he'll say, I don't want to jam somebody up over a broken tail light, you know. So he'll just definitely give them a warning, but, you know, he's not going to give them a ticket if they don't need a ticket at that time.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting to see him kind of mellow out and grow up, and he's only 22, you know, so he's definitely very young. So it'd be interesting to see how he is when he ages, but it's definitely been a fun journey to watch, for sure. And see him, like, when he was going through the academy during COVID, how they kept pausing it and restarting it and pausing it, restarting it. And it had to be like the most frustrating thing from him. I can't imagine what that was like, just thinking you're going to get done and no, you're not done. Thinking you're going to get done and then no, you're not done. And I can't even count how many COVID tests he had because they had him get tested so often. But
he persevered.
Yeah, he made it through. Right. He made it through and now he's got his full-time job and it just seems to be loving it.
Yeah.
But so what would you say, Katrina, has been your biggest advice that you can give your patients? You know, if they just want to just stay more upbeat in this stuff we have now, you know, between the COVID and everything else and all the, it seems like it's just the country is just in such a stressful place. What's the best advice that you can give them from a nurse practitioner standpoint?
Well, definitely, I mentioned it earlier, self-care, but, you know, you need to surround yourself as much as possible, 6 feet apart from, hang out with your family, hang out with your friends as much as you're able to, listen to music. You know, that's one thing I do is I jam out every day on my way to work and on the way back. And just take that time. If you do work outside the home, try to take a day off, you know, once a month or every other month and just go get a massage or go eat some Reese's Pieces or, you know, drink some wine. And for the moms that are at home, you know, and trying to do it all, taking care of the kiddos and trying to take care of the house and the dogs and be happy, you know, when the husband walks through the door, you know, just find a church group with some, you know, other moms that are going through the same thing that you're doing and get out of the house and, you know, just enjoy connections. That's what I think it all is being around other people that are going to uplift us and try to limit the stressors as much as possible.
Great advice. Just absolutely great advice. Yeah, it's, I would tell people though, I think the one thing that helped me and probably help you too is that even we tried to always get out. So as much as we could throughout this, if there was restaurants open, we were going to go at least once a week and just get out of the house and go eat a meal where we didn't have to cook it or clean up afterwards and just be able to relax a little bit, you know, and it'll be interesting because now you're seeing our wonderful, wonderful, wonderful governor trying to lock things down again. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out as we get into the fall and winter when, you know, summer's not such a big deal. You go outside and there's all kinds of tons of stuff to do. But man, that winter lockdown stuff is probably the roughest of it. You know, so be really interesting to see how that all plays out in the future and see how much the people are actually going to put up with. You know, but being that we live in the Republic of Illinois with our wonderful, healthy governor in charge, but. So at the end of each show, Katrina, I usually, I'm sure you have never listened to my podcast. I always ask my guest to give one little short productivity tip, or like it can be anything from, you know, how you get more done in the day, how you stick to your schedule, you know, something to do with, you know, self-care to be a little happier or anything like that. If you could give them one piece of advice like that, what would you tell them?
I think it would be two. I'm going to choose two tips. And so,
all right, we'll stretch it just a little bit because I'm so happy you're here. We'll let you have two.
So one is to get a good night's sleep. That's crucial. You know, you need at least 6 hours, if not 8 hours of sleep. And whatever you need, make sure that you get it every night. The second is the to-do list. Back in the day, I used to just write down on my to-do list, create a to-do list, you know, just be able to check something off. But, you know, list the main things that you really need to get done that day. Do a daily list, a weekly list, a monthly list, a yearly list, and, you know, just keep on trudging through on it.
That is absolutely great advice. Well, thank you so much for being here. This is a great conversation. I know you were nervous as heck, but it seems like at the end you got a little bit more comfortable and you were just kind of falling into your zone. Does it feel better now at the end than it did in the beginning?
Definitely.
Okay, good. So then it means you want to come back and do this again soon, right?
We'll see.
Okay. All right, we'll take that. So thank you all for joining us this week. If you know someone that could benefit from hearing things you heard here, please send them a link to it. Please subscribe, tag them, come find us on Facebook. Anything you need to do to help us get the message out and help us make the biggest impact that we can. Thanks again for joining us. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast. If you're still listening to this episode, that means you gained some type of value. So if you could share this to a friend, leave a review, and make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Tactical Entrepreneur Podcast.